Why can't APS just pay teachers more?
Can my child really learn in a classroom of 30?
Is public education as bad as the media and everyone else says it is?
Everyone has an opinion about Albuquerque public schools. But where do you go to sort out fact from fiction and rumor? Right here. Welcome to the APS Open Book Podcast with your host, Monica Armenta.
Hello, and welcome to another installment of the APS Open Book Podcast. I'm Monica Armenta. If you're a regular listener, you may be asking yourself, hey, what happened to host Mark Goodrum? So happy you asked. Mark is actually here with us today. Hello, Mark.
Hello.
So, a very brief update. 1 year ago, we launched the APS Open Book Podcast with Mark. Given the popularity of podcasts and hearing the public's plea for more information about the school district, we thought a podcast would be a great asset to offer the public. As you know, you can tune in anytime, anywhere, and better yet, it's free. Mark is a trusted voice in education, a now retired teacher and band director of more than 30 years. He was just perfect. But as we all know, nothing stays the same. So after a year, Mark has decided he wants a real retirement and will turn over his podcast hosting duties to me. But before we let Mark go, we thought it would be interesting to hear what this experience has been like for him, if he walks away with any new perspectives, and maybe even some advice. We also promised Mark when he started that at some point he could turn the mic on us, the APS Communications Office, to ask any questions he might have. So now it's time to pay up. Let's get started with introductions. Mark and I are joined by Johanna King, who is the Director of Communications for APS. Hi, Johanna.
Hi, Monica. Hi, Mark.
Hi.
And Daniel Torres, who is our Multimedia Specialist.
Hello.
Johanna, Daniel, and I make up the entire communications team for APS. There are no branch offices that handle communications for APS, so we're it. So welcome, everyone. Mark, let's go ahead and start on the premise that you were in the classroom for a long time, so your perceptions of APS came from that lens. We tried, when we talked about initiating this project, to give you free rein, to let you pick your topics and make sure you had access to people. You could ask anything you wanted of anyone, and I think it turned out to be a really good product. You were fantastic
for the
time that you joined us. So maybe we can start the conversation with some of your insights. Did you learn anything? Is it different than you expected?
Oh, I'll tell you what, it was a great experience, and such a great experience to have after being retired, because you could really wrap your head around the whole experience of meeting people, talking to everyone that came in. Also, you know, it's kind of strange sitting behind a mic, you know, and after being in a public situation, I taught band and concerts and things like that. Then you get in front of a mic, and you do get a little bit of a mic fright at times. But with you and everyone at the communications office, and of course, Kevin, I always told him, Kevin Otero, I wanted to be like him when I grow up.
We all do.
That, you know, you sort of start getting your feet wet and enjoying the conversation as we move forward. I think we did some really good episodes, starting, of course, with the suicide prevention episode. And as I saw the downloads and people really tuning in and listening and watching them on YouTube, and they're up there forever, it made me feel like we were doing some good things here. I do want to say that, you know, when we first met with this and got it rolling, I went in to Monica and I sent her an email and said, I don't know if you remember me, yada, yada, because you came out to my class at Grant Middle School years ago for a media class, a TV production class I had there. And immediately you emailed me back. I was surprised, you know. I was like, wow, she does remember, and let's go. And you said, come on in. And we started talking about the whole thing, and then it started rolling right away. And I wanted something that would showcase Albuquerque Public Schools and the wonderful things that are going on in the district. And I think we did that, starting with the suicide prevention, of course, the superintendent, and going on. I am guilty I was a little bit biased toward the fine arts episode. It went on for, I think, 2 days or something. After we got done, I think Kevin told me or someone said, you know, maybe we could have done it in a two-part series or something like that. But the kids, if you haven't had a chance to listen to that one, the kids are great. And it gives me goosebumps just to hear from the kids in the schools what they're doing, from Atrisco, the mariachi bands, to the jazz bands, to the orchestra, to the fine arts, and then also, of course, into the academics. It's just great things that are going on in APS that do not get hit by, you know, the media. And so it really saddens me to have to step back from it, from the podcast, but life comes in the way, but I've loved it.
So
more than you wanted to hear.
No, absolutely not. Like I said, I think that timing's everything. And you came to the office. We had actually all talked, Johanna, Daniel, and I talked about starting a podcast, but we have limited resources and time. So your timing was perfect, and we very much appreciate that. And you were really a perfect fit. And one of the things I want to be sure to touch on, and Johanna and Daniel can chime in any time, was when we first sat down, we heard from you what we hear from everyone. Why don't we hear more good news about APS?
Sure.
How did the experience educate you about that process or that reality?
Well, outside the studio, in all of our lives, we bump into people, Walmart or wherever you are, and all I heard was, you know, negative about not only APS, but kids. Oh, they're all this way, and that way. And that just after 3 decades of teaching wasn't my experience. I got to stop. I came in today. I'm full of emotions. I bumped into a former student of mine downstairs, Dominic. And Dominic was toward my end of my career. And we tussled a little bit in rehearsals, and he was a little challenging. But he's grown up and working and successful. And we did a podcast on successful students of APS. And we move on. And I told Dominic this morning that, you know, it brought tears to my eyes because we get into a situation sometimes as teachers when we retire or even when we're still working that you see the other side where some of your students have made poor choices or haven't made it at all. And it hurts. And when I did these podcasts, I mean, listening to Rachel Scott, for example, a new teacher. Well, she's not new anymore. She's 2 years into it. It gave me goosebumps because that love for teaching, if you're listening to this podcast, you know that there are great teachers in Albuquerque Public Schools and great students. And the window we needed is something like this. You shared enlightened me by letting me know that, you know, a lot of it comes down to money, you know. And I think that if this window was larger, and people could see more often what wonderful things are going on, what your children are doing in school, what the principals are doing. You know what? I'd rather hear that than some of the things on the local news. I'm getting on my soapbox.
But just to be clear, on money, we're talking about advertising to make sure people are more aware that the podcast exists, marketing budget to
absolutely
put in, buy more paid advertising to tell our story.
You told me, and correct me if I'm wrong, you said that, you know, this only goes, you only have 3 people. your hands are full already. And I understand that. The train keeps going along. You're answering phone calls, putting out fires, doing this, doing that. And then all of a sudden, you know, can we get this podcast together? Well, you know, I've got 5 other things going on. So What would happen if you had 3 more people in the your department?
Well, we're going to let you turn the mic on us in just a minute after the break, and you can ask it. Daniel and Johanna are getting ready over there, but I think it was interesting to watch you, at least from our lens, because as passionate and wonderful and knowledgeable as you were from the classroom and still are, there is a different perspective that you can't have until you sit in the other person's shoes. I've never taught in the classroom, a very brief time, but I've been a student. But the experiences are different, so I think it's beneficial for people to have as much information and real life experience to help form, you know, accurate perceptions.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, another podcast we did, I thought was a good one, was the Art of Teaching. And I don't know if you've ever been in a situation, I'm sure if you have your own children, been in a situation where you're in front of 20 some odd kids and your classroom management has gone out the window. And you're like, oh, and nowadays, well, you're on YouTube while you're losing it, you know. But if you are human and you are in front of young people, you're going to get upset. And one thing that I was taught when I just started teaching was to be honest with my kids. When I'm upset, then let them know, hey, you know what, I'm upset and this is why. And it doesn't mean you're yelling or screaming or cursing or anything like that. But and for people that, like you were saying, Monica, that are out of the classroom and knowing that what teachers are going through on occasions in the classroom with classroom management and just day after day, whether you're teaching band or math or lang lit, I think that's important. In my world, I would have a TV show, literally a reality TV show of a teacher, not something goofy, you know, but it's a wonderful, wonderful profession. It's a great profession. And I loved it. And I think that we need others that are coming out as far as students to go into the profession. But you have to gauge yourself on your patience, as we do with everyone else. And when you get in those that classroom, whether they're kindergarten kids all the way up to high school or college, and for trying to have a window to that kind of experience where people that are going into the real world and, you know, working at AutoZone or where have you, to be able to see into it, I think it's important. And I think if APS can, you know, do that, it would really be beneficial to them. I worked at AutoZone for a couple of years, and that's a weird thing to step out of the classroom and then go into real life. One thing I realize is that there's a lot more cursing in the real life than it was in the classroom, you know.
When you started broaching some of these topics and you needed information, because another thing that we talked about when we started down this path was, you know, people don't have information about APS.
Sure.
Where do they find out? I'm curious, did you find that maybe that's not necessarily true, that the information is out there, but it takes some seeking, or where do we still need to do a lot of work in that area? What are your thoughts there? And then I'm going to let Johanna and Daniel ask some questions, because we're not a quiet group.
No. You know, more information is always good, and getting information out there. For example, what was it, the water samples? When you brought that up to me, you know, I was at home and I thought, oh my goodness, water samples, how entertaining is that going to be, you know? But, I mean, it was necessary to get the information out, because in my mind and other friends of mine that I talked to, Scott Elder, kudos to him. I mean, he does like 10 jobs or something.
20. Yeah. Scott Elder is the chief operating officer of the district.
He's like crazy. For the record, he said, hey, Mark, can you get somebody else, you know? But he came in and was able to get that information out. And that's the kind of thing that you were mentioning that APS needs to do, is to, you know, when you got hired, you know, I'm in the classroom. And people are like, well, why do we need this office? One of the things we sat down at the beginning, and I don't know if you guys remember or not, I was like, why do we need a media office anyway? Where's that money going? Why can't it go into the classroom? I'm tired of all this kind of stuff. After being in front and seeing what you all do, I mean, I wasn't there on a daily basis, but we had dialogue and talked about how things were going. You're the front line. You're the voice of APS. It really is. I mean, the fact of the matter, and you're not in front of the camera, but Daniel, your job is the website, right?
Website, social media,
you know,
this podcast, behind the scenes, Daniel's behind editing. The camera a lot. He does a lot of the video and a lot of the photography.
So very rarely am I.
Yeah, that's why you're so quiet. But that's it. I mean, no offense. The superintendent is one thing. You know, if the buck stops there. But he or she are not on a daily basis putting out the fires and lightning, you know, putting out, hey, we have a wonderful teacher or student. You're doing monthly employee kind of things, but these are the people that do the heavy lifting.
Well, there's the whole conversation about that. We facilitate, we help make sure that the public knows the decisions that are made, there's a whole process to that. Yeah. The superintendent clearly and the leadership team make the decisions, and we make sure the public understands why they were made, and we try to be as transparent as possible.
Yeah. So it's been a fun experience, and I'm looking forward to the future of the podcast.
Well, don't go too far, because what we're going to do is take a break, and when we come back, we're going to let Mark, as we mentioned at the top of the podcast when he first started, he had a lot of questions about the communications department, and we were happy to answer, but we thought it would be best if we let some time lapse, and he had some experience. Mark, you get some experience in, you know, the administration as opposed to the classroom. And then I promised you'd have this opportunity. So you're going to hear a lot more from, you can hear Mark's questions, you're going to hear from Johanna and Daniel after this break. Stay with us for the APS Open Book Podcast.
From the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX, I'm Al Letson of Reveal.
This story is going to be about people trying to keep secrets.
True stories that affect your world every week on Reveal.
Was there any reason why you didn't want to tell us the truth?
We didn't lie. We just withheld information.
Because there's always more to the story on Reveal.
Friday morning at 9 on KANW.
KANW 2 is New Mexico's nonstop news, information, and entertainment radio station. KANW 2, your source for Here and Now, The Takeaway, Freakonomics Radio, and so much more. Listen to KANW2 at 89.1 HD2 and 107.5 FM in Albuquerque, 91.1 FM in Santa Fe, and 90.3 and 91.1 FM in Grants. Download a program schedule at KANW.com.
Welcome back to the APS Open Book Podcast. I'm Monica Armenta, and we're here today with Mark Goodrum, who has been your host for the last year. Mark retired and took on the podcast sort of as a hobby, but what he quickly learned was it's a little more time-consuming than he likes. So he's ready to turn the reins back over to the APS Communications Department. And we promised Mark that he could ask us anything he'd like. So you have the entire APS Communications team. I always think it's important for people to know that you have three people in the communications department. We do not have branch offices.
Right.
We're the smallest communications department of any urban school district in America. Johanna King is our director of communications. Daniel Torres is our social media specialist, multimedia specialist, social media also, and I'm the executive director of communications. So Mark, ask away.
All right. Well, let me start with Johanna. Would it be fair to say that you're not right in front of the camera all the time? You're behind the scenes?
I'm definitely behind the scenes. I avoid the camera as much as possible.
So talk about what you do.
So I'm the written voice.
Okay.
Written word of the district. I do a lot of the writing. So I write for the website. I write for newsletters. I help the superintendent and the other leadership write. Mm-hmm. My background's newspaper.
Okay.
And I was a journalism teacher too, so I spent 19 years in the classroom. So.
Yeah.
And I write some for social media, but not everyone these days, as we know, are readers.
Right.
And so having this as another option to get information is really valuable.
Sure.
So I appreciate everything you've done.
Yeah. Well, back at you. I mean, yesterday I went to a meeting with the band I play with, and Ron Lipka, one of our directors.
Who was my band director when I was in high school,
I remember that.
And I have to tell you, Johanna's probably one of the best writers anywhere.
She
spent 10 years at the Journal, and then we sought her out because she's one of the rare professionals in school district communications who has both a teaching and a professional writing background, and she's amazing.
Yeah, that brings a lot to your table. To have that teaching experience?
Yeah, it does. It gives me a great perspective.
Sure.
When when I am writing or when I'm communicating with principals mm-hmm. or with teachers or with people in the classroom. I totally understand what you mean about classroom management.
Yeah,
understand.
Yeah. You were there.
I was there. Yeah. I was there. I taught high school. So.
Oh, my. What high school?
I taught in Carlsbad in Texas and then at El Dorado in Valley.
Oh, okay. Great.
Briefly.
There you go. Yeah.
I was the yearbook and newspaper teacher. So.
Talk about what, so people will know what elements are going out. Now, do you write for the perspective?
Yes. So we have a lot of tools in our communications arsenal.
Yeah.
We have our website is probably our best tool. Mm. And we have a fantastic web team. Mm. So we always encourage people to check there for news. We try to keep that web page updated, and there's tons of information. So I write a lot on that homepage. If you go on that homepage of the website, it's a good chance I wrote some of the information you're seeing there, or at least helps get it on the site.
Yes.
And then we take a lot of the information on that website and we push it out to our community through a weekly newsletter called The Core. So
That's
we email that to all our parents and to community members and to our employees. It goes out every Wednesday.
Okay.
And then for our employees specifically, we do a newsletter called Perspective.
Right.
And we send that out every other Thursday. And it really is our effort is to make sure that our community knows what's going on and that they hear from us. We work a lot with the media, too. I send out news releases and work with reporters all the time, as does Monica. But we want them to hear from us, too. If we can, we want them to hear from us first.
Sure.
So we try. The other tool that we use is social media for the same reason.
Mm-hmm.
So if something's going on, we'll push it out through social media. And we have decent followings. So, but again, not every, you know, people get their information from a variety of ways.
Right.
And so we're using every different kind of platform we can find to get it out there.
That stirs a thought in my mind. So your particular job, you're handling several entities and you're just one person.
Yeah.
And she hasn't touched on internal communications,
right.
Emergency notifications. We share a lot of those duties, but yeah, it's like spinning plates all day.
If you're a school's locked down for any reason,
right.
You know, there's a police investigation nearby or their gunshots have been heard down the block or something, we're the team that puts that information out there and gets along with the web team. And that's in the middle of, you know, so you have to stop everything to do that.
Right.
So and the other thing we do is we're the ones that work with the media.
Mm-hmm.
And we probably get half a dozen media calls a day
on
average.
Slow day.
Right.
So we're the ones that help them get the information that they can share with the public as well.
I always think it's important for people to understand what a unique media market Albuquerque is. If you live in Colorado, if you're in Colorado Springs or Denver or any other place, you have broadcast stations within those cities that focus on their individual city. New Mexico is a sparsely populated state. We are unlike any other in that the only broadcast stations in this state for news are in Albuquerque.
Sure.
So the focus of almost all news is here in Albuquerque.
Right.
And because people don't necessarily need to agree with this, but we don't have as much industry as other places. We don't have professional sports. We don't have great wealth.
Right.
So the focus of news is always going to be on crime and bureaucracy because that's where we live.
Yeah.
So we have, it's hard to guess how much of our time goes to media, but clearly more than probably 40% on a daily basis.
Wow.
And media does do some positive stories, and we can talk them into, you know, covering some of the good, but you know the negative makes the headlines.
There you go. Yeah.
And so part of our job in APS Communications is to push out the positive to try to make sure there's a balance out there that people understand, like you know from your students the amazing stuff that's going on.
So two questions I had was, if I'm out there in Albuquerque, how do I get can I get the Core, for example? How do I sign up for that?
Yeah, actually, you can go to aps.edu, and there's a link that says the Core, and there's a box to sign up for it. So we'd love for you to do that.
Great, and that will come to my email.
It'll come to your email every Wednesday.
Okay. Yeah, and that's why I brought up Ron, because he was talking about he gets the Tribune and so forth on his iPad and so forth. So this would be a great way for people to get it in
their inbox.
We'd
love for the public to it's a very, we try to highlight the positive, but we also share information that we feel is important. For example, information on the superintendent's search.
Mm-hmm.
That's been a big part of the Core as of late.
Right. That's really great, because if I'm thinking of all my friends that, you know, not all of them complain about APS, but, you know, that's a great way to see what's positive coming through and the wheels turning and what's going on inside.
And we take a lot of pride in the saying that we also try our best to be the first to inform the public if there's something going on that isn't positive.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, again, we own that information.
Right.
And we want the public's trust. And the way to earn that and keep that is to be
up front
with everything as much as you possibly can.
Yeah.
And we're the authorities. So when you talked about the lead testing for the water, media did cover that, and we appreciate them helping get the word out. But not all the information they shared was accurate or complete.
Yeah.
So we had a lot of information on our website, including the reports. You could literally download the reports and see what the lead levels were in your schools.
Right.
So we really encourage people to go to our website for information.
Social media.
Daniel.
I mean, where do you start? Let me ask you a question about my dream would be to, and how realistic would this be for APS? My dream would be to have a two-way communication with the public, whether it is at KANW, a call-in, APS call-in show, or a live broadcast on YouTube or Facebook for the superintendent. Naturally, you know, you and I talked about this, Monica. You know, you're going to get all the, you know, bops and hits over the head and everything else. That comes with it. But, I mean, your job is, what, Facebook, Twitter, the whole nine yards.
Yep.
Talk about that.
So social media, you're never going to be faster than social media, right? Even with good and bad news, right? You're going to hear it one way or another. So we try and just communicate all the good, all the bad, and, you know, as fast as we can through
transparency.
Transparency, yeah. And we spoke a little bit on transparency.
To Mark's question, I think the challenge in having sort of a two-way dialogue on social media is that as a society, I'm not sure we're there. You see every single day. I think it was Lizzo just most recently who shut down her social media because of the
Saw
haters.
Yesterday,
So it has a lot to do with where do we find civility in communication as a country. And there's some real risks there. But more than anything, we just don't have the resources. If you were going to have a two-way communication and a television show, a podcast, or social media, you have to be sure you have someone who is, and social media doesn't have an 8 to 5 o'clock.
Absolutely.
So you're looking at a 24-hour surveillance sort of response team.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that anybody wants to finance that.
Yeah, it's a very good point. And then you can talk about where the money is coming from, blah, 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 on that. When the sole purpose of this is keeping our eyes on the ball, and that's the children. And also, I don't know, I'm the gray hair in the room here, but I don't know whether or not it's all in the social media all made out to be what it's supposed to be.
Well, you know, I think
it's the
negative.
Jury's still out, isn't it, after so many years?
It's pretty new. It's a new frontier. I mean, we have political and, you know, discourse and it's hard to control that narrative, you know, disinformation coming from all over the place, people with different opinions. So our job is to steer them with our facts in the right direction.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that expressing your opinion is a bad thing.
Right.
But when you talk about civility, and there's a word that I haven't heard in a long time, kind. Being kind, we can disagree.
I think the rules of engagement for social media are still being formed, right?
Yeah.
Social media, but the one thing we can't deny is that social media is here to stay.
Oh yeah,
and you can no longer treat it as an extra. It is as real a communication tool as sitting before a microphone or putting out a newspaper or a TV show.
So,
and it has to be addressed. There isn't a government agency or any other business that's really interested in succeeding that has the option of sort of ignoring it or treating it as an aside anymore.
So with that, Monica, you're at the helm here. And should this office in the real world, in this podcast, maybe we should have 8 more people? I mean, this is a small office for such a big district. How do you deal with that?
I have I think you have to put things in context. You have to remember that the current governor's only been in office a year, and in that 1 year, we've seen the political will to invest in public education.
Right.
Prior to that, there were 8 years where we suffered somewhere around a $40 million cut to public education, and the focus was on the classroom. The focus remains on the classroom now,
sure.
But I think there is certainly the understanding that you can't really have schools without infrastructure. Schools cannot stand alone. The administration cannot stand alone. You have to work together. And I feel very confident with the administration that we have now, both at the state level and the local level, that there's a real desire to enhance every aspect of public education, and that should spill over to communications as well.
Sure, yeah. When did you come to APS? I remember, but I can't remember the year.
I don't know that I can remember the year. I was at KOB-TV for 23 years, and in 2007, I started with the district.
Okay.
It's 15 years, whatever the math is.
Wow.
You know, I was what was my degree in arts and sciences, so math is not my thing.
Do you like it?
I love the job. If I had known that it would be this difficult, I might have gone to the gym and done Botox and tried to survive HD TV or whatever it's called, high definition, for a while. What I love about this job is that anybody who chooses public education really has the opportunity to make a difference.
True.
This is a place where you can work as hard as you'd like and you're needed, and the end goal is a better city and better. I really wanted to transfer my voice and my name to something that would result in good.
Mm-hmm.
And there is nothing better than helping young people reach their full potential.
Right.
And although people don't always make that communication for us, you know, that your communications office might help some student, we
sure.
do play a direct role. We have
Absolutely.
A wonderful story about Jonathan Salazar, who was at AHA, who you know, got a full scholarship to Duke, and we've been able to follow his story
sure.
and share it with people as they go along, and all the work that Johanna and
Absolutely.
Daniel and others do to make sure kids know about scholarship opportunities
sure.
and new classes and the options they have. There is no other way to take advantage of opportunities if you don't know about them.
In this day and age, this thing
rules your
world. For parents. And when it hits the fan and I go to the website, how many times did I, even as a teacher, get up in the morning and go, oh, it snowed. It snowed.
Yeah.
And you go immediately.
Now you'll get a tweet.
Yeah, yeah, right. And you're looking at your phone at 2:30 in the morning mm-hmm. or and so forth. You're on the front line. And when you talk about direct impact with the students, I can't imagine a district, a school district in the country without a media office. I know there are many, of course, but
not large ones. Large
yeah.
school districts have large communications offices.
Absolutely, yeah. And you have to have that voice coming out for the district. Now, you said, you know, you wanted to have an impact and for the better good. After 15 years, what's the verdict? Do you think you've accomplished that? Or on your way?
It's hard for people to take credit because you run the risk of being really criticized if you. That's
yeah.
just the nation, and more so if you're a woman, and more mm-hmm. so if you're Latina.
Yeah,
I
sure.
mean, so I want to say that I'm proud of the work I've done. I'm proud of mm-hmm. the team that I've worked with and the work that we've done together. This department has been very aggressive in trying to find new opportunities. We worked a deal out with Clear Channel Communications
right.
About 12 years ago. We, APS, leases Clear Channel, a little parcel of land at six different locations, and Clear Channels then gives the APS Education Foundation a donation every year. More important to us, we get every seventh message free on those billboards. That's resulted in almost $2 million for the district since that started. Of course, we have the podcast. We completely redid the web site a number of years ago. Johanna was instrumental in going across the country and making sure that we implemented social media mm-hmm. in the way that we need to. What am I forgetting, guys? We helped with the naming rights of one of the stadiums. When we opened the stadium on the west side, we were able to sell those naming rights. Again, that was at a time where there was no money. We were
sure.
experiencing cuts. So we were looking for ways to even find a potential $500 here and $500 there to do something, to find new funding streams that could be implemented organically at no cost to the district, but would have some benefit to our students. But more than anything, I have to say, and I may live to regret this, but I think that, well, the media doesn't necessarily always love us. They do trust us.
Sure.
They know that there isn't anyone at this mic today who's going to tell the media anything that isn't accurate and true, and you need that relationship.
Absolutely.
Media is always going to be a challenge. We're not meant to be best buddies,
right,
but we have to respect each other, and we have to work well together. And I don't know, Johanna, would you agree that we have pretty good relations with local media?
Oh, I think so. I think we're really responsive. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, like I said, on a slow day, it's a half a dozen calls. On a busy day, our phones ring off the hook. So maybe we're not as responsive as they want us to be. But I think we have a pretty good relationship. And Monica's right. We're absolutely honest.
Right.
And we won't answer something until we can get the information correct,
right,
which maybe is part of their frustration. But
sure,
that's part of what we do.
Yeah. I would be remiss not to bring up KANW.
Oh, KANW is fabulous, isn't it?
The relationship with APS.
Go, Kevin. Go, Michael Brasher. That KANW was instrumental in, obviously, creating this podcast.
Sure, absolutely. Well, you know, I wanted to get you guys on the podcast as early as possible, but you're running around, you know, and doing great things, so at least we got a chance to sit down.
Well, we've reached the end of this podcast. I think that we hope that you'll accept our giant thank you.
Absolutely.
We'll always be grateful to you stepping in. Again, a teacher's voice is sometimes heard differently than an administrator's. You brought heart and soul and light into the district, and we really, really appreciate that. Perhaps you can come in as a fill-in from time to time.
Absolutely.
We would like that. Yeah. So, Mark
Thank
Goodman.
You, Mark.
Thanks,
Mark.
You. It's been my pleasure.
The best to you, and we'll sign off for now and have a new edition of the APS Open Book Podcast coming to you soon. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is produced by the Albuquerque Public Schools and KANW Public Media. Special thanks to KANW Program Director Kevin Otero. Stay tuned for more meaningful conversations each month on KANW and KANW.com.